made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, 65 McCampbell Road, Humdale, New Jersey, the district's website, and sent to four district schools. The mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to the designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSA, PSG, PTSO, SAV presidents, and student representatives to the board, filing with the clerk of Humdale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There are two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be referred by the board president, by the president, to the board committee and or to the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer's authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if he or she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. Can we stand for this flag, please?
Progress.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to ask the student representatives to the board to present before.
Roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Mr. Sockel.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Dr. Kluwer.
Here.
Mrs. DeSillo.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the student representatives to the board to make their presentations before our public presentations.
Good evening. I hope everyone is doing well. Last Friday, Humdale High School held an AP kickoff party. Students who were taking one or more AP exams were invited for food and games, as well as the preparation for AP testing. AP testing started on May 2nd and will end in late May. Good luck to all those taking exams. The Humdale High School Film Festival is this Friday at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $5. You will be able to see a number of short films and other projects created by Humdale High School students. Food and drinks will also be available. I'll now hand it over to Trinity to conclude the student report.
The five language honor societies held their induction ceremony last Thursday. Congratulations to all the new inductees and elected society leaders. The National Honor Society is holding its Relay for Life event next Friday at Rogie Field from 4 to 10 p.m. All Humdale community members are welcome. There will be food, games, crafts, and other festivities, and all proceeds will go towards the American Cancer Society for Cancer Research. Additionally, the junior prom is just 2 weeks away. Juniors, please keep an eye out on your emails and the Class of 2023 Instagram account for important announcements. Thank you, and that concludes the student report.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move on to
a question.
Okay.
Or comment. Do you know how many people are doing Relay for Life yet? I mean, who's running that? I mean, I think it's the first time we've done that in this district. So I think it's a really good thing that we start and obviously continue for the future grades. So.
I'm not sure the exact number, but all NHS members are required to participate, and that's already about 200 students.
And any update on the senior assassin game? That's obviously exciting information.
I don't know anything about that.
Pete, you can't do it, Pete. You can't play.
Thank you, both of you. Okay, we're moving on to our presentations. The first is staff and student recognition. And Dr. Cascone, please take it over.
Good evening, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, Mr. Green, members of the public, Mr. Patrizzo, esteemed administrators, staff. This is the best part of the agenda and an aspect of the agenda that as superintendent of the board, we look forward to doing on a monthly basis, which is just really showcasing the outstanding achievements of our students and staff. So at first, I just wanted to recognize two staff members here tonight who recently, teachers, in fact, who recently had their doctoral degrees conferred And those teachers are Dr. Jennifer Corboy and Dr. Beth Wood. So if you would just kindly come up.
And to Dr. Beth Wood, Homedale Township Board of Education congratulates Beth Wood in recognition of obtaining your doctoral degree. We hereby grant you the Certificate of Professional Achievement in commendation of your exemplary effort and scholarship. While I'm up here, our students. So starting, I had an opportunity to meet Mr. and Mrs. Laido at my listening session. We had an opportunity to chat, and they shared with me their daughter Olivia and some of her achievements. And I was just so impressed with this one particular achievement. I had to recognize this with the board here tonight. And so Olivia, would you come on up?
Yes.
So Olivia, in addition to being a nationally recognized math scholar. Fifth grade, right, Olivia? Yeah. Olivia, wait for it, is the number one ranked girls chess player under 10 in the country. Right here. Number one. So Homedale Township Board of Education congratulates Olivia Laido for outstanding achievement. And so Olivia, we present you with a certificate. And hopefully this evening will inspire you to continue your chess playing and perhaps be a world champion one day. So best of luck to you. And thank you. And while I'll leave most of the narration of this next award, I have to say that just so impressed with this next young lady. Certainly in schools, we teach students academics, and those are certainly important, but we also hope to instill, along with their families, a passion and commitment to giving back to their fellow human beings. And no young lady represents that trait better than this next one. So with that, I would call up Mrs. Lisa Vitale to present the certificate.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pascone. I would like to bring up Beth Samanchek with me on this because Mrs. Samanchek has worked so hard with this program. We're going to speak of the heart challenge, the kids' heart challenge that we had back in February. And this is run through the American Heart Association. And basically the kids were given a challenge, classes kind of competed against each other to see who can raise the most money and try and help this cause. And it's such a great cause. And Beth takes it on every year, basically, and she organized the whole thing. She did the scheduling for it with the other phys ed teachers, of course, but Beth is really the one that kind of ran the whole show. And when it was done, we raised over $35,000, I would say, for this cause, which was incredible. The reason why we're here tonight is because I get the pleasure of presenting something that is just distills my heart to have a student so committed, like Dr. Pascone was saying, to giving back to the community and having such a passion for wanting to help those in need. And so Mrs. Moore and Mrs. Fabiano's class raised $4,500 alone for the American Heart Association. But we had one incredible student who raised $4,000 of that $4,500. All by herself. And Mrs. Samanchek and I were so proud of her that we said to Dr. Cascone, can we please recognize her at a board meeting? And of course, he was 100% on board. We would like to bring up Mrs. Francesca LeBate to present her. So you are the highest achieving student that has raised the most money for this in the history of Village School. So we want to say thank you, and everybody that is going to benefit from that, the money that you raise, I'm sure, is here to say thank you as well. So congratulations, sweetheart. We're so proud of you. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you that. She's in third grade. She's in third grade, and she's fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vitale. And again, congratulations to our recognized students and staff this evening.
I don't know if you had a chance to notice, it was actually a rather cute moment that was going on with the LeBates. I don't know how old her brother is, but as this, what we were walking up to this award, the brother reached out his hand to pat his sister, and his sister, demonstrating a coolness beyond the years of being a third grader, stayed very, very calm and kind of moved away a little bit as if this was not what you did. But then she opened up and said, "What's that? They're twins." Oh, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Thank you. Congratulations.
Okay. Just continuing in the vein of recognitions, proud to announce that the high school production of Oklahoma was nominated in three categories for the 2022 Basie Awards. These annual awards are produced by Count Basie Center for the Arts in Red Bank to recognize participating high school productions throughout Monmouth County. The nominations were received in all student orchestra, costume design, and set design. And the award ceremony will be held on May 25th. So we look forward to hearing how our students turn out in the competition. And just as an interesting sidebar, typically the set design category is reserved for adult professionals. And so these were students, and they may be the only students that were actually nominated that weren't adult professionals, which is amazing. So congratulations to the cast and crew for that recognition. We had three students win accolades at the Delaware Valley Science Fair, two first place finishes and one honorable mention. Ryan Jawa was one of the first place awardees for the research in microbiology conducted this year. He also receives two special cash awards from sponsors, one from the American Society of Microbiology, and he is progressing to go on to the Regeneron International Science Fair, which is quite an honor. So we wish him the best of luck. We did have one, our district candidate for the New Jersey Governor's School in the Sciences was accepted again. So again, it's quite an honor to have a school represented there. We're also thrilled to announce that our student-produced web series, Oh, What a Beautiful Day, led by Nicole DeBlasi, Gisela Cubis, and Rocco Impreveduto, has been nominated for the Rising Star Awards at Paper Mill Playhouse in the category of Student Achievement. Nominations were announced this week, and awards will be decided at a ceremony at Paper Mill Playhouse on June 6th. So we're very proud of those students and wish them luck. And congratulations to all our students on their All Shore Intermediate Band Concert this weekend. Special congratulations to flutist Renee Whitmore for winning the John Carr Memorial Award for Outstanding Musicianship. So our students under the tutelage of our staff continue, and the support of their parents and guardians continue to achieve at amazingly high levels. A few just community updates. Last night, the incoming fourth grade parent orientation was held at Indian Hill. So I want to thank all the parents and guardians that came out for that, as well as to wish those rising fourth graders all the best as they move on to Indian Hill. We have our Village School PSA Mother's Day plant sale, which takes place starting tomorrow at 9:30. Teachers have coordinated their visitation schedules with parents, so parents are able to come with their children and pick out the flowers. And they will be entering through door 27, but they've probably already been provided with those details. In addition, Friday night, the high school hosts a film festival starting at 7 o'clock, and that is open to Holmdel community members, $5 admission, 9 films, as well as some student-produced films through our TV and video production club. It's Bring Your Own Popcorn, Mr. Reddy. I'm kidding. I think they are actually serving popcorn. Just one final update, and just a note on this month's board agenda is that our district calendar will undergo a revision as of this board meeting. The May 26th will in fact be a half day for students and staff, and this is really the second half of the give back day that was originally given. Our families and kids can enjoy, and staff can enjoy a nice long Memorial Day weekend before we start the final push of the school year.
One fine. This is really a final piece that I want to speak to. Typically, as a superintendent, I really don't make it a habit of providing public responses with regard to pieces that may appear in local media. But I think in this particular case, it behooves a thoughtful statement on behalf of the administration and the board. So, as the employer, and this is with respect to an article that was published recently with regard to a former athletic coach in the district, and as the employer, through both the procedures and processes which a district follows, we're obliged and to maintain strict discretion in those investigations. And once those investigations are completed, and obviously we're not at liberty to speak directly to statements or misstatements that might have been made in local media pieces. But what I can speak to is process, right? So when the district administration is receipt of what we could characterize as a public complaint or grievance, there are any number of procedural avenues which might be followed as a result of that public complaint and grievance. And it really depends upon the nature of that. In some cases, that's a recommendation for the aggrieved to simply have a conversation with the person with whom they have a grievance. Maybe that's a mediated conversation. Sometimes it's simply just a discrete personnel follow-up, whereby there might be a letter to file or a professional conversation or something of that nature. There are other times where it might be threaded through the affirmative action policy, if it fell under that category. There are times when, by the nature of that complaint, that we are obliged under district policy, as well as relevant administrative code and statute, to give that case over to local law enforcement or the county prosecutor. Once that investigation gets placed in the hands of the county prosecutor or local law enforcement, our internal investigation pauses. Those two investigations do not and cannot happen contemporaneously. And our internal investigation is essentially on hold until such time that we receive notification from that aforementioned law enforcement agency that their investigation is completed. They provide us with that disposition. In the event that there are not criminal charges recommended, in which case it would remain out of our jurisdiction and remain in theirs, then the investigation gets placed back in our jurisdiction. And that investigation is begun and completed in as expeditious a manner as possible. Now, while it's certainly in the best interest of all parties for that investigation to be done expediently and to be concluded expediently, it's also important that that investigation is thorough. And we also know that good investigations and thorough investigations aren't always necessarily go hand in hand with brevity, right? But that is essentially what occurs in the case of a public grievance. And then, of course, there's time to process those findings, analyze those findings, and then present those findings in written format. So while I can't speak to specifics, nor would I, because the board and the administration maintain the confidentiality of employees very seriously, I can speak to process. And I'm hopeful that what I've shared with process contextualizes some of the statements that were made in that article and provides some clarity as to that that regard. On that note, that concludes my report, Madam President.
Thank you. Would you like to make the budget presentation next?
Yeah, well, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Right. The budget presentation is technically part of the superintendent's report, and so I shall come up before. Mr. Patrizzo will be joining me as well. Before I start the presentation proper, I would be remiss if I did not extend thanks and appreciation to Mr. Patrizzo, Mrs. Diwaisaki, and the business office staff. This is there is a lot of moving parts to this process, and just being part of that and watching the good work that they've done has been impressive and is appreciated. So thank you. The Holmdel School District is in terrific financial shape. Now, Mr. Patrizzo is going to speak in greater detail at later with the numbers, but just speaking in broad brushstrokes, there are many school districts across the state of New Jersey who are not in good financial shape. The balancing of their budgets on an annual basis necessitates the utilization of state aid for operational costs. And they are consistently spending more money they can really afford to. And they are, if they're not already at a financial cliff, they're getting close to it. Not the case in Holmdel. Holmdel is in excellent financial shape, and the business office and the board obviously are to be thanked for that. So just talking a little bit about this budget, obviously anytime we're developing a budget, we're ensuring that that budget is aligned with our mission and our mission statement. And that all the decisions we make with regard to the allocation of funds, staffing, come back to that mission statement. Just some of the budget highlights from this year's budget. Reduction in the tax levy, resulting in a slight decrease in property taxes. Really a supporting of all existing programs, co-curricular programs, as well as augmenting some of our Schedule B programs or extracurricular programs. We are making an effort to address the class size at the elementary school level. In particular, this year, this budget will support the adoption of a new mathematics program in grades 4 through 6. It also ensures that we continue to not only refresh existing technology that is at the end of its lifespan, but also ensuring that we continue to again, ensure that all students have access to appropriate technology in the district. It places a focus on special education services, including our building and augmenting our human resources in special education. And latter slides will go into a little bit more detail as to where those special education staff members will be deployed, as well as on admittedly a micro level, focusing on parental concerns with regard to safety concerns on elementary buses. As in any development of any public school budget, there are always challenges that we are working to address, ensuring that we are consistently aligning resources to meet all the New Jersey student learning standards, recognizing that now more than ever, the social emotional needs of students are greater than ever. These are not areas in which school districts have typically dedicated a lot of resources, right? When we think about our counselor ratios and things of that nature. So how do we continue to augment and expand on those social emotional services that are available to students within the existing financial constraints? We know that the learning loss, while we will be in a better position at the end of the year, to provide some more clarity as to where we stand on that. We know that it's happened. We know that it exists in pockets and for some students more than others. So how do we make decisions about our programming, our staffing, our resources to be able to address that and ideally close that as quickly as possible and to the greatest extent possible? And we know that one of the greatest challenges in public school education is what seems to be the never-ending wave of mandates. Unfunded mandates that somehow we have to find a course forward that is appropriate for our community and has the necessary staffing. And then, of course, maintaining technology, it's a never-ending battle, right? These devices have lifespans, whether it's the hardware, the software, or just making sure that the security of our networks is something that requires ongoing vigilance and training on the part of our technology staff. So what are our proposed investments for this year? From a staffing standpoint, we are proposing, and let me just qualify this, at the time of the production of this presentation, we had identified kindergarten and second grade. But what I can tell you is that we have two elementary staff lines in the budget. The likelihood that one of those will go to kindergarten is extremely high. The question becomes where that second line is going to go. And I'm in conversation with Mr. Howard, Mrs. Vitale, in understanding where the greatest need is for class size reduction. And of course, like in previous years, if we have emergent needs that come up We'll do what's necessary to fund what's in the best interest of our students. We've had a lot of folks reach out more recently expressing the concerns about class size. I know the board has heard that. The administration certainly heard that. And I think the addition of these two staff lines demonstrates, you know, because sort of putting our money where our mouth is, if you will. For special education teachers, in terms of where those teachers are, one of them is dedicated to expanding on our fantastic STARS program and will be deployed into that program. I apologize. We have one teacher at SATS and we have, two teachers at STATS and two teachers at the high school, one of which was the STARS program. Two additional English teachers. And just to give you a little bit of clarity here, perennially, the district tends to utilize a lot of point twos and point ones, part-time, you know, basically teachers to pick up additional sections. And so I have to credit the administration and the business office for really doing a great job this year and recognizing how we could sort of compress those point ones and point twos and realize efficiencies. And so when you see those two English teachers, and I think it's important to realize because after all, it's a 0% budget, slightly below 0%, is that the addition of all these staff members is within the existing operational budget. And that was accomplished by recognizing efficiencies primarily in those point ones and point twos. And then two bus monitors. So obviously that, and being transparent, that is not going to afford the opportunity for there to be a monitor on every bus every day. But what it does enable us to do is to have a rotating schedule. And why is that helpful? Well, what it means is that monitor while on that bus can reinforce proper behavior to accustom kids, acculturize kids to proper behavior on the bus. If we have a bus that might be experiencing some acute issues in a particular time period, we can deploy that staff member. And we're also looking to hire staff members who have a bent towards teaching, because what we would see is individuals who would be interested in delivering programming as well in the schools, centered on proper behavior and good character while on the buses. So while it's not a monitor on every bus, we really feel confidently that this personnel will lend to a much greater level of parent comfort on the buses and safety as well. And then, of course, investing in some additional Schedule B investments, which I will discuss next. So our Schedule B investments, one is to put Strive program advisors. Strive is a wonderful program. I believe is it at middle school and high school or just high school? So it is a program designed for, it's sort of cut out of the same cloth as a Play Unify program, in that it's a program, the objective and mission of which is to bring regular education and special education students together for inclusive interactive activities. So this is a wonderful, another step in the right direction, in a positive direction, building on our Play Unify programs to create those opportunities for inclusion, not just during the school day, but as importantly after the school day, because that tends to be where that exclusivity divide really widens, is after school. And so this is a great opportunity to further address that. We have some additional coaches on the freshman level, girls basketball, boys soccer, and girls lacrosse assistant coach and boys lacrosse assistant coach that are built into this budget as Schedule B investments. Some academic investments, additional technology supplies to continue to further the one-to-one implementation down to the kindergarten level. And I gather that President Urbanski is wondering, how are picnic tables an academic investment? See, it's only been 6 weeks and I can read your mind. That's a good question. Well, one of the things is that these will provide outdoor learning spaces. And in addition to obviously eating outside, there'll be an opportunity for a teacher to utilize the outdoors for a host of outdoor learning activities. Really to further explore the possibility of providing time in particular for our middle school students to get some outside time. And I know that's a logistic challenge, but I think it's one that Mr. Lachman and I are interested in drilling further down on and see if we can get our middle school kids out during the day. And then some additional athletic supplies for our co-ed ice hockey program. That concludes my portion of the presentation. Once Mr. Patrizia goes through the numbers, we're certainly happy to take questions from the board and public. Patrizia?
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Cascone. Thank you to the board and the Budget and Finance Committee for all your efforts and support. Thank you to our administrative team and our entire faculty who does have a process. It is part of this process, and it is a very long process that starts November timeframe and builds towards this. So a lot of efforts go into this, so a lot of thank yous all around. I would like to also say, echo Dr. Cascone's comments. I love, one of the things I'm most excited about is when we recognize our students. So it was great to see some events this evening. And also at our last board meeting where we were talking about the new engineering wing and the robotics program and all these wonderful things that was the culmination of the vision that there were so many people in the community supported with our referendum. It really inspires, it certainly inspires me and makes it all, kind of brings it back to this is what it's all about. So with that said, this budget, as you saw, not only invests in our school district, but it's also an investment back in our community. We're able to put forth this budget, and it represents a tax decrease and a tax levy of $170,000. Just an overview of what that equates to, the decrease represents an estimated total tax rate of 1.2216. And on the average residential assessed value of $779,141, that represents a decrease for the year of $7.59. Just for semantics, for those who would be interested on calculating specifically to yours, the process of doing that is you would take your tax assessed value from your bill, you divide by 100 because you tax on every $100 of assessed value. And then you would multiply it by that rate of 1.2216. And it would tell you what the total tax bill is for the school portion of your total tax levy. In this example, on the average residential home, that represents a total tax bill of $9,517.99. When compared to your prior year one on the average home, that equates to a decrease of $7.59. Okay, so what this is a breakdown of the budget and the key areas that make up in the State Department of Education chart of accounts and with the categories it goes into. So under instruction, there's a lot of categories that fall under that level. So under instruction, it represents our regular programs, special education, basic skills, bilingual education, school-sponsored co- and extracurricular activities and athletics. The total number of all those categories represents $28 million roughly. The next main category is student support services, which is comprised of health services, speech and OT/PT related services, child study team, guidance, media and library services, and staff PD. The total of that comes to $8.1 million. Tuition of out-of-district, that's out-of-district tuition for general, special education, and our county vocational schools. The total for that comes to $1.5 million. School in general, school and central administration, exactly that is our administrative team, represents $3.5 million. Operation and maintenance of plant services, that represents our custodial and maintenance, our ground services, or security services, and our lunchroom playground aides and bus monitors. The total of that represents $6.7 million. Student transportation services is exactly that, and we utilize, all of ours are utilizing our contracted service providers. The total of that comes to $3.3 million. And then personnel services constitutes employee benefits, which is health, FICA, PERS, pension, workers' compensation, tuition reimbursement. The sum of all those comes to $11.4 million. The sum total, which is identified as general fund current expenses, totals to $62.7 million. And then the last category is capital outlay, which is equipment, facility acquisitions, and construction services specific to us. It's really equipment, MCIA lease payments, and SDA debt service. MCIA lease, I like to spend time talking about this because we as a district have been very forward thinking. And this district was doing this before I got here. I've been here for quite a while, but what that is, it's Monmouth County Improvement Authority. And we take advantage of the authority at the county level. And the authority puts together a program every 2 years that allows you, and we work with our township as well, and it allows us, we utilize it as one of our main funding for technology investments. And that's predominantly what we utilize this for. And then we also utilize it to purchase any of our building service personnel equipment and whatnot. The reason why I'd like to talk to this is because it's a great opportunity for us to finance these costs and to do it at extremely competitive and excellent interest rates. We take advantage of the authority's AAA rated status. And because of that, we're able to get excellent interest rates to finance these costs over a 5-year period. And that's what we do, like I said, every 2 years. So, and the other element is when we talk about SDA, debt service, that's the cost that the state charges back to us for prior years worth of bonds that were issued that they charge costs back to all the applicable districts. And that's a set number each year. And that's what constitutes $578,000 for a total of $63.3 million. Breakdown of revenue is important to see the components. I know a lot of times there are questions on, everyone's clear with what the tax levy is, but there are other elements that fund the total operating budget. So as we referenced before, the tax levy is $56.3 million for the operating budget. State aid, this is predominantly, we get security aid, transportation aid, special education aid. We've seen an increase, as you can see, from year to year, $741,000. If you've heard, there's been a commitment by the state to fund the formula consistent with how it's always supposed to be funded. For years, it's been underfunded or inadequately funded. These increases that we're seeing is excellent, but it represents where proper funding we should have been receiving for years, quite frankly. But we took that, and that was another opportunity for us to take that and take that increase and not only invested in our school, but also back to our community with the reduction in the tax levy. The other element is state aid. So again, state aid from the Department of Education, $4.1 million. Then we have extraordinary aid, $269,000. What that is for extraordinary services that we have to provide for special service students. And that's aid, that's additional aid we get, and we get identified after the year is concluded what that amounts to. From a budget perspective, that's what we have. Federal aid, semi, $25,000, smaller number, but it's important to note what that represents is for special education, Medicaid eligible students. That's what this applies to. Fund balance. I'll finish with fund balance. We'll go to other revenues, $450,000. That's predominantly from tuition that we charge to other LEAs for, we do have an excellent special education programs, and we are able to accept students in other districts and charge tuition for that. And that's what that represents. And then the remaining portion is for facility rentals that we charge. So going back to fund balance, it's important to note $2.1 million. We've been consistent with funding that. What that represents is savings that we identified during the budget process, savings out of our current budget, whether it's from additional revenue that we anticipate or appropriation savings. During the budget process, if you identify that, you can utilize that to fund your next year's budget. And that's what that, when we, with the term fund balance, that's what that represents. So the sum total of that comes to our $63.3 million. I'm going to hand it off to Dr. Cascone to close us out.
Thank you, Mr. Scherzer. Obviously, when, as a board and community, and think about, you know, investing $65 million or at least, you know, 50 some odd million dollars of local funds into a school district, you want to understand and feel confidently that those funds are being put to good use and are translating into positive and significant outcomes for the district. As a relative newcomer to the district, you know, perhaps I have, you know, maybe arguably maybe a more objective lens. What I see here, and I think these are just a few indicators of achievement, is that there is ample evidence of achievement here, right? The question becomes, how can we utilize our funds to ensure the highest quality experience on the road to achievement, and that experience is consistent from person to person, right? But there's no question that this district is making sound investments in its schools, and we will continue to do that. And I think we'll continue to see these achievements while also improving upon the overall and consistency of that experience. So with that, that would conclude the formal presentation, but happy to take any questions from the public and the board. If we could be seated. Sure.
I have a couple of comments. We're gonna start. Okay. Well, Mike, thanks, and Dr. Cascone, thanks in your brief time. As you can see, Mike for years has done, you know, as long as I've sat on this board, every year, more and more stuff gets done with the budget. We don't just pass the budget and just, you know, the year starts again. And, you know, credit to last year, we added fencing and boys volleyball and girls flag football. And really it came from people asking, the community asking, saying, hey, we need a boys volleyball team. And a year later, we have a boys volleyball team. I mean, I give credit in there. There's the co-op for the hockey team. Many people may not know, but the boys hockey, it's a co-op with Marlboro, where Marlboro runs the program. So a lot of times we sort of forget that program, but those kids are going to Marlboro, playing every day. And now we've added money into the budget to help those parents, because hockey is by far the most expensive sport, to help offset some of the costs they have, what they have going on there. So, and what we didn't even talk about in there was the new turf field. We're doing a brand new turf field without impacting any taxpayer money, without him going out to referendum, just adding more and more things to it. You know, and then, you know, as we talk later in the curriculum instruction, you know, when people are talking about average class sizes, we're addressing in a budget, you know, all without taxes going up. And just, you know, the lacrosse, the freshman soccer program, credit to Matt's coaches. We've never had a freshman soccer program as long as I've been here. Enough kids came out. The JV coach and the varsity coach did not want to cut any kids because you don't want to lose a kid an opportunity. And now, they coached a fret. They created a freshman soccer team last year, coached it, didn't get compensated for it, you know, which is, you know, credit to those guys. But now we have a freshman soccer coach. We have the numbers, the kids get the opportunity, and it was a great experience last year for those boys. So I think really good job in terms of, you know, just people ask and we get it done and the administration gets it done. So thank you for you guys' efforts.
Thank you, Pete. Anybody else? Joe.
I just have one question. How many other school districts in the state have a flat or giving money back? Do you have any idea about that?
I don't, Joe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find that out. But
I would hazard a guess it's less than 10, I would say. So, and I just think that's a compliment to you guys to do that. My other question is that I think a lot of that is probably due to the state aid thing. And I'm just wondering, is that going to continue going forward? Is that a one-year blip in that, or is that something that we would be able to advocate for and hopefully continue down the road?
Well, last year we saw an increase as well, which was also helped us in reducing our tax levy last year as well. So the last 2 years, this the current year we're in and the budget that we just presented, we took the increases we saw in our state aid and not only invested it back into schools, but also was mindful to invest it back in the community. I failed to mention, I think it's important though, so important for us. You know, we spend a lot of time, like I said, with planning internally, and then we bring it through committee and the board, a lot of discussion overview. But we're super thankful for the community support of this amazing referendum that we completed. In September of 2017, we went out for a vote. The community supported it pretty resoundingly. And it's important to note that we don't take that lightly. And when we had the opportunities, because we saw the increase in state aid that we've probably been should have been receiving for years because the formula wasn't funded properly, we took those opportunities to reinvest. Now, prospectively, will that pattern continue with the funding is a good question. What I've learned, it's kind of a year by year scenario. Things could change pretty quickly, but hopefully that is a scenario that we see continuing to happen from an aid perspective.
And I think we do have other fund balances like the capital fund and operating balances that we can to offset that if need be.
Thanks, Joe, for letting me expand on that, what Pete had mentioned. So yes, we do have reserves. We have a capital reserve and a maintenance reserve. So the capital reserve is what we utilized to fund this wonderful multi-purpose turf field project that we're working on. That's how we were able to fund it without impacting operating or tax levy scenario. Our maintenance reserve is another reserve that we will utilize as necessary to kind of plug any shortcomings that may come that may happen out of our operating budget. And that allows us to be very lean when we're budgeting in our operating maintenance side, because we do know that we do have the maintenance reserve if something were to come up that wasn't accounted for. As Dr. Cascone mentioned before, regardless of what happens, whether it is additional staffing that is necessary, whether it's operational needs or maintenance enhancements, we will do what it takes to ensure that that we have the best quality program around. So yes, those maintenance reserves and capital reserves puts us in good stead from a funding perspective, so that we could put forth these budgets, but also be able to react to unknowns that happen.
Yeah. Thank you. And I just wanted to say that I've been on the board almost 10 years. Well, 10 minus one, I took a gap year. And I think this is one of the best budgets I've seen. The fact that it's giving money back to the taxpayer. And I also echo your admiration of the taxpayers who did invest heavily in the school district with the referendum, but, you know, and we're giving back to them. It may not be a whole lot, but at least we're not raising it for them, but we're giving back a little bit to them. But more so the points that you put in this are in reaction to the community to address many of the concerns we have. So what I would encourage is if you have questions or issues, the leadership on this team from Mr. Patrizzo and Dr. Cascone and Ms. Urbanski, as we go forward here next year, as the budget comes up, please come up with your issues and concerns, because they are reactive and you can see it in this budget and they will do it going forward. So community input and interest is obviously we're reacting to you, but I think they came up with a phenomenal budget and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Linda? Oh, I'm sorry, Kimberly.
I just wanted to say that I've been part of budgets for many years, watching them from my own school district that I'm employed at, and going through that process and being in, not on the board, but as a parent being part of it. And now this year, I'd like to say that what is really nice about this particular budget is I'm not gonna look at the revenue, I'm gonna look at the expenditures, is that we're increasing almost $900,000 in our instruction. But because of cuts being made in other areas, it's actually only increasing our expenditures by $400,000. So kudos, considering that part of that is personnel, where we know every year there's going to be a raise, health benefits are costing more. So it's huge kudos. And my understanding with this budget is that pretty much every ask, because part of the process is that the administration goes to the upper administration and gives their asks. And my understanding is that pretty much almost every ask was met with this budget. So just kudos to the whole team. It was, it's not a lot of increase considering what a district is getting out of it. So.
Thanks, Kimberly. Linda?
Yeah, sure. I think that's really nice presentations from Dr. Cascons and Mr. Patrizos. I remember before, we go through all the spreadsheets, you're hardly to see anything, but with the nice slides presentations with a high level summary of where we spend the money with a nice picture, very easy to understand. Thank you, great job. I just want to point out for one slide, for the staffing investment there, and on here, where we get the new teachers and staffs. I don't say there one for the gifted and the talented teacher. I know a lot of parents from the district, concerned about that for a long time. I just want to point out is we do have the budget for the gifted and talented teacher. It's just difficult to find and hire the right one. So anyone, you have your recommendations, and I really hope this year we can fill out these positions, because that's really important for our school district, right? We are doing great for special educations and regular kids, and we definitely can do better on the gifted and talented kids with the right teacher and with the investment on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else? Oh, yes, Mike.
Thank you very much, Madam President. one of the fun things about being on board is having a ringside seat to watch progressive improvement. We're talking a lot about this budget, and I agree with you, Jovis and Kimberly. This is one of the best budgets we've ever put together. But the reason we were able to put a budget like this together is from the budgets we've had in the past. When I came on board, this was a district, a high-performing district, but it did not have some elements that we enjoy today. The level of technology support, the incredible investment we've put in the arts. When school districts all around the country, when they're looking at cutting back, that's one of the first places they go. We've added to our drama program. We've added to music. We've added to art. We added a brand new dance program. Thank you, Mr. Logren, for being an advocate for that. Our sports program has expanded. When we went out to the community and asked the community to give us additional money to bring this facility up to snuff, we didn't attack this as a purely academic issue. We attack this as an academic, athletic, and artistic issue. If we want to compete in today's world, we have to provide the well-rounded student. And that's what you see here. You see a budget that is the reflection of the budget before it, and the budget before that, and the budget before that. And I give tremendous kudos to all of the colleagues that I've worked with over the last 12 years who have never allowed themselves to move off of the idea of gradually, steadily improving this district. And the other kudos that has to go out is to this community, a community that is committed to public education, a community that expects that we spend money in the right places. And that's why we've been so successful. We haven't fallen into the trap of spending money in the wrong places, I think. I think we've done a tremendous job spending money in the right places. I'm a man of many faults. One of them is I get a little passionate about certain things I care about. I get pretty passionate about this district. I get passionate about this district because I see what's being done day to day in a minutia setting, and it's all good. And everyone out there who is here in this room and out there on the web, and maybe even listen to this recording later on, be proud. Be very proud of this district. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Sarika.
Yeah. Congratulations on the budget, which addresses almost every part of the needs of the township, including the capital outlay, athletics, and the teachers. So in the teacher section, I'm glad we're having more teachers, but I also would like to see that gifted, talented spots filled up soon. I know there is a provision for that position, but I just hope we make progress there as well. There seems to be no lacuna there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? Terrence.
Just briefly, I think board members Tosillo and Hammer summed it up very nicely about the budget. It's a great budget. So to Dr. Cascone, Mr. Petruzzo, and also the building principals, I see Mr. Kokoda, Mr. Logren here, the team, the department heads and all the staff and folks that are, it's a big effort to put it together. Before you open it up to the public, the one item I would also say is this, I thought the presentation here was great. I've mentioned this in the past, so instead of waiting for older new business, one item that I think would be very helpful for the public and the board too, is when we send the not to exceed budget into the county, it often comes back exactly on the dollar. That's what you would see subsequent to the public hearing. My recommendation I made in the past would be to have that presentation, which I think is great, and the budget, which I also think is excellent, I think it was summed up very nicely, is to have that presentation at that time. Now, perhaps the state aid figures may be in, maybe not, you know, federal aid figures, but that's an opportunity for the public, because we're going to approve the budget tonight. But if you have that information, both for the board and the public, you may have subsequent to sending that in, you may get some insight, whether it's class size or some other element. And by the way, I think it's important to note that budget transfers can be done during the year. So as needs change and priorities may shift, or expenses are reduced in one area, you can allocate those funds to whether it's gifted and talented or other different endeavors. I would say just to sum up, congratulations, great budget to all the staff that put it together. And the suggestion that the presentation is done when we send it in, when it was already approved to be sent into the county, because that would give you a feedback mechanism from the public to the extent they want to give you some inputs that may inform the final budget that we approve during the public hearing process. And so that's my input for the superintendent for next year.
Thank you. Good thing to consider. Anyone else? I was going to go on, but about all of the wonderful highlights of the budget, but I think you all managed to articulate my thoughts very clearly, so I won't burden the audience. I just would like to close this section with thanking Mr. Petruzzo and the Business Administration Office for their meticulous hard work. Mr. Petruzzo is the hardest working guy in the school district. 7:30, next year will be a different story. You know, 7:30 at night, he's in the office grinding those numbers. So we see it, we appreciate it, and we're very thankful. Thank you, Mr. Petruzzo. Dr. Castone.
Thank you, Madam President. Just one final announcement. We will be having our health education town hall next week. There will be a date change. We will be moving it to the 12th. I will put that out by a variety of different formats tomorrow. I'll be doing robocalls home to folks just to remind them the day before the event. There was, unbeknownst to me, there was another elementary function that evening on the 11th, the Indian Hill Talent Show. I didn't see it on the district calendar, which is why I missed it. But obviously, this is highly important to elementary parents in particular. So we are going to move it to the 12th, same time, high school auditorium. But I will put details out tomorrow for the community. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you so much. Is there any public comments about the budget presentation?
No.
Your name and address, please.
Jacqueline Denton, 6 Oakwood Court. I don't know if I missed the beginning part, and I know that someone mentioned that the budget includes additional funding for teachers, or I was wondering if that includes additional teachers for which grades. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent of 3 children, one in kindergarten, one at Indian Hill, and one at Stats. And interestingly, they all started the new school this year after, they already were in Homedale, but they all started their new school this year, following the pandemic. And as someone with those three different levels, to me, the evidence of what happened during COVID has been the most prominent in my kindergartner. Mm. I have a seventh grader who, honestly, I know every school has some issues. I don't feel like SATs missed a beat. Indian Hill, fourth grade classes have a lot of children, but those kids, a lot of them have been identified over the last few years. Who needs Achieve? Who needs period zero? Now, kindergarten, you start off this year with children who didn't go to preschool for 2 years, maybe, or ever because of COVID, all over the place. They enter kindergarten. My daughter, my sons who were in kindergarten, 17 kids in a class. We have 24, 25, 26, 24. I can go on, kids in each class. In addition to that, you have kids that weren't identified. In addition to that, we added a new literacy program. And in addition to that, we added social studies and science programs that were not there before. So now we have these little kids, mass plexiglass, new school, kids who've never been to school, moving around classroom to classroom, new classes, new literacy program with all these extra kids in the class. That equates to, if you have 25 kids and previously had 18, that's two reading groups that could be broken out. The disconnect is so obvious compared to when my sons were there. And on behalf of many, many kindergarten parents, and I'm sure you have received emails from them, we're very concerned about next year, as I know that there's currently seven kindergartens and there's eight first grades slated. And as you know, kids come from home away from home, Montessori. So that eighth first grade will already be filled by these new kids that are enrolling. So what is the plan for this class time with the social studies science being lost, with the new literacy program? I hear from teachers taking away from some of the math, because in the past you could kind of offset social studies and science when you needed to go over in literacy. But now you can't because they go to other classes. So what is the plan for these kindergarten students for next year for first grade, who I really feel are being lost in all these new changes?
Thank you very much. Dr. Cascone, would you like to have a response to that?
You want me to respond in time?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, sure. Thank you, Ms. Denton. Actually, I had the opportunity to meet Ms. Denton at my meeting with the parent leadership the other night, and this was a topic of conversation at that meeting. And of course, you're right, Ms. Denton, we've been receiving a lot of outreach from parents, and we've appreciated that. Because it takes something that was already on our radar and just elevates it to even higher level priority. You're absolutely right. Everything you've said is absolutely right from a pedagogical standpoint. And so what are we going to do? First thing is you can count on the fact that when your students, you know, leave kindergarten, move to first grade, we're going to know exactly where they are. We're going to know exactly where they need to be. And we're going to ensure that we're delivering services, whether those are in the classroom or those are through intervention services, that are going to get them where they need to be as quickly as possible. We're not going to let you down, and we're not going to let your kids down. In addition to that, we are looking at the class sizes, and we are looking at how we're going to deploy those two sections that are currently in the budget. In fact, I have a meeting scheduled with Mrs. Vitale and Mr. Howard Monday of next week, where we're going to walk the building. We're going to understand our space constraints, making an effort to try and keep grades together and things of that nature. And ultimately, we're going to make the decisions based upon which grade needs it the most. And I think you make a strong point, which is, you know, the kindergartners going into first grade with the propensity of enrollment over the summer, you make a very strong point. And I can tell you that we've heard that loud and clear, and we've made it a priority. In terms of the literacy program, I think that's another important piece. That was a new implementation this year. And like typically occurs with new implementations, there are growing pains, there are pain points. You obviously, in an implementation, you want to try and mitigate those or eliminate them. I think we've had maybe a few more pain points than we would have liked this year in the implementation. And that is, again, put that squarely on our radar. So when we talk about engaging in summer curriculum writing, understanding what components of the program are working, do we need to supplement with additional resources? Certainly to provide additional training and staff development are all on the docket. And what I said to teachers, and I visited a grade level meeting the other day, I think it was last week. I said, first of all, this is directly and squarely on my radar as a superintendent. It's a curriculum item, but it's definitely on my short list of items to focus on. And secondly, the goal is that when you step into the classroom next year, you feel way more comfortable about delivering this literacy program than you do now. And that's what we're doing between now and the opening of the school year. But we hear you, we agree, and we're working on it.
Thank you. I think it's important also to note, if you missed the beginning of the presentation, we indicated that we're adding more teachers, new kindergarten teacher, another teacher in the elementary level, two English teachers. We're making an investment in the staffing necessary to do the things that Dr. Cascone is talking about.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the audience? Okay, I guess that closes our presentation of the budget. Our next is, you already did the report.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see, harassment, intimidation, and bullying, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Madam President. So I'm just verifying and certifying for the record that the HIV investigations that were completed between last public meeting and this public meeting were furnished to the Board of Education for their review and will be slated for board affirmation at the May 25th meeting. I have reviewed all the executive summaries and concur with the findings as presented.
Thank you very much. Okay, time for committee reports. Pete, would you like to start?
Sure. All right. So the Curriculum and Instruction Committee met April 25th at 6:30. Talked about a whole bunch of different things. First topic was the superintendent's recommendations for approval, everything from out-of-district personnel for staff and teachers traveling to different conferences, to approval of student trips. Nice to see the SATS kids going back to Great Adventure after a couple of year hiatus. So normal is coming back every month, every week, right? Third thing was the approval of curriculum writing projects, reviewed curriculum writing projects that span across all departments from math, science, world languages, humanities, PE, performing arts, et cetera. Obviously, we do that every year, and obviously, there's a great number of hours that teachers throughout the district spend doing that, and it's super important to stay on top of things. It led to discussion about the Ready Math program that we've been piloting this year. Feedback so far has been good, but plan is to get direct feedback from the department heads at the next CNI meeting. Also, the Into Math program has been piloted for less than a year, still being evaluated. Administration remarked that they would like to make a decision after the third benchmark tests are released, which I think is within the next few weeks.
Actually, we're in the middle of, Ms. Board Member Ruddy, we're in the middle of makeups now. So we'll have those results, by early next week.
Okay, yeah. Great. Then we also discussed the extra half a day due to only having two snow days out of three used. There's another item that was on there. We were going to read for the first reading tonight, the athletic competition policy. And the only thing I made notes after our meeting, sitting in this chair for a bunch of years, you've always had a lot of wrestling parents that come up, and wrestling is one of those individual sports in a team environment. And I was hoping, in our next meeting, we can discuss finding ways to, or adjust the policy so that we allow sixth graders that want to wrestle in SATs, the ability to do that. And the reason I say that is year after year, these SATs kids, seventh, eighth grade boys and can be girls. So, wrestling can be co-ed now, give the kids the opportunity, because these kids go into these matches and they're already lost before they even start. And they're lost because they don't have kids at the 80 pound weight, 85 pound weight, whatever it is. And this would give, build the program better and also give those kids you want to win. It's not the end of the world, but it's really, I can tell you it's a lot better to win than lose. And I know we've been talking about it for a bunch of years, had a lot of wrestling parents come up over the years asking us to do it. And I don't see a reason why we don't adjust the policy to make it possible for that sixth graders to wrestle if there's spaces open for them. We can figure out the logistics of transportation and things like that, but almost every neighboring district around us does it. So I think it's one thing we can add to the agenda for next month. What else we have on there? We have approval of teachers we have an internship for a graduate student. The summer step-up program, adding new teachers, that's been on the list the last 2 months. We reviewed the standardized testing schedule for 2000 for this year. We had to make some adjustments in the testing time for May. What else? For special services, we reviewed the home and hospital instruction for list of students for that. We approved the case of injured and ill persons policy. So that's on the agenda for tonight. And then we also reviewed a list of the child study team members that have to work this summer for attending meetings and evaluations. Then we did have a discussion and reference the STARS program discussion of just really positive program, varies from seven to 17 students. And one of the recent accolades that the director was talking about was one of the students was just recently admitted to Villanova University, which is pretty darn impressive. And we've also had one of the students, Sophia Borges, received an award for Count Basie for a film that she produced. So really excellent things there. Then new business, registration enrollment for summer step up program, if I could say that correctly. We have currently 200 enrolled. And like we've been talking about, that's everything from multiple areas of math, reading, AP courses, band, dance, theater. Next thing we discussed was the SAT and PSAT results. So for SAT, we have 800 kids tested over five different test dates. And looking at the data, the average is 1,226 is the average. So 1,226 is the Homedale average. And when you look at the five test dates, August had a test average of 1304. And then the lowest, the average was November test date, 1159. We couldn't figure out why the 1304, maybe it's because the summer and the kids have the ability to concentrate more. And it also may be, that might be a time that might include a lot of non-Homedale students, a lot of the VOTEC kids that are taking it and the private school kids. Kim brought up during that discussion was, why don't we pay for the kids having SATs? Obviously, we were starting to do with AP scores and, obviously having a couple high school kids, it would seem to make sense since 99 or 100% of our kids take the test. We just would have to figure out how to do it. If it's a district-wide test in a district, if we just pay for one time or something like that. But knowing that every one of our kids takes the test, we can figure out with budget and finance what the cost might be. I think if everyone's paying for it, I think parents would appreciate it. I know it's not a lot of money, but it's, hey, it's one less check they have to write.
Board member Reddy, may I add a couple of points?
Of course, yeah.
Just a couple of points about the SATs. So one, I think it's noteworthy that our scores continue to go up amidst the pandemic, which I think is a great data point, as it relates to learning loss or the lack thereof. And we were one of a small number of schools that continued to show growth over the course of the pandemic, even amidst virtual instruction or hybrid instruction. And second is quite a number of the schools that were above us in overall average score had a far lower participation rate than we did. Our participation rate was 85%, and virtually every school above us on the list had a percentage lower than 85, some as low as 30%. So I think that's also, we maintained a relatively high average with an inclusive participation rate, which I thought was relevant. Thank you.
And then didn't touch base, the PSATs, we had 400 students test. 10th grade average was 1,009, and 11th grade average was 1,103. So obviously 100 points more, and you would think makes sense there. As Dr. Cascone said, the Health and Education New Jersey Student Learning Standards seminar we're going to have is now May 12th, not May 11th. So we'll have a continued discussion around that. Then other items, again, on the CNI radar, school start times. I know we've talked about the last few months, but I think we need to keep it out there so we continue talking about it to eventually put that into, something we do. Class sizes, and obviously talking to the budget, we've already talked about that. By next month, we will have the document that Jeff, the assistant superintendent, put together on average class sizes across the district. So it'd be good information. Because I do know sitting here years ago, it was one of our district goals of reducing class size. And just like a diet, you got to stay on top of it. Eventually you just sort of trickle back up, put on a couple extra pounds. SAT scores, we've completed those. The VOTEC acceptances, those will be starting to roll in, I guess, over the next month or so. So we know how many kids are staying or going or things like that. And then the good thing, I know our senior left, who is going to Georgia Tech. I know he didn't say that in his thing, so he committed to Georgia Tech. But we'll start hearing the college acceptances, which we're already starting to hear every day on social media. So that would be a nice thing to see in the local papers of, you know, the amazing students and what they do. And next meeting is tentatively Monday, May 16th at 6:30.
Questions? Thanks so much, Pete. Do you have a question, Matt, Mike?
Yeah, I do. And it's procedural. And I'm sorry to be nitpicking about this, but I don't think it's a major issue to do with our agenda. But if you take a look at one of the policies that's being recommended by the Curriculum Instruction Committee, which is policy P2465, grade level acceleration, it makes reference to an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction. Later this evening, we're going to vote on a director of curriculum and instruction. So to make sure that the policy aligns with our current staffing, I was going to recommend if we could take item 3 out of order, do the consent agenda approach as we normally do. And then when the consent agenda is over, we open up for modifications on item 3, change it from assistant superintendent to director of curriculum instruction, and then go ahead and vote that in so that we can at least make sure that the policy aligns with our staffing.
Thanks for pointing that out, Mike. You know what we'll do is we'll just drop agenda item number 3 for now, and we'll modify it and put it on the next agenda.
That's great. Either way. Do I have
to have a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
When we get to that.
As long as the board consents, you can drop it.
So just like a show of hands? Yeah. A show of hands if you agree? Thank you.
Elizabeth, okay. I had a question. On,
sure.
Pete, on the VOTEC, does that include not just the the high techs and those, but also the RBCs and other things like that?
You mean of the students that might, eighth graders might be going to other schools?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it would be all, you know, what students would be leaving us, I guess, after graduation.
Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't just VOTEC.
You're right, because there's a lot of, you know, from Trinity Hall to RBC to Vianney and all those other schools. I think it's important to see. And I don't know if we have the records, but I think it's something that we should keep an eye on from a benchmark. Going, okay, are we trending up? Are we trending down? Or is it like a roller coaster where 1 year, you know, there's no, you know, direct correlation of why the kids are going? It'd be nice just to know, like, hey, every year we're losing 10%, or is it 15%? What's the number?
Yeah, we did that probably about 8 years ago or something. Seven. We did do that at one point. It would be interesting to see if it's changed.
Yeah, exactly. And I, when I think about that, I know Terrence a couple of years ago when we did the user as exit survey with the seniors, which I know we're planning to do again, which I think is so valuable. I mean, these are the students. These are our customers. Say, hey, grade us. Did we do good? Did we do bad? And we should do that every year, because you find out kids like, oh, why am I taking financial lit in ninth grade? Why are you not teaching me how to write a resume? Why are you not letting me do college applications or my college essay? Like all these different things that we're thinking about it. But these are the kids that are in the seat going, man, I wish I had this.
Yeah.
And just like the budget, hey, say it and we can try to fix it. Or at least to me, like we're sitting here, if we're not doing that, what are we doing? So I think it's
just as a follow-up with the VOTEC students to see how many are going this year. It's going to be interesting because I know Mr. Laugren and Mr. Kokoda made a big push and had a presentation, invited all of the eighth graders to come and learn about the high school and all that it offers. And I really think that might help make a difference in retaining students, and we'll see with the numbers if it did. Okay, anything else? All right, Eileen, would you like to read budget?
Budget and Finance met on April 28th at 6:30. It's probably a record of our shortest meeting. We discussed the referendum, the projects that are going to be completed this summer is the Indian Hill Playground and basketball court will be repaved. The high school and the SATS flooring will be replaced, and the high school and the SATS parking lot will have paving work done. The second thing we talked about was the multi-purpose turf field. The district has moved forward with the materials for the turf field. We are hoping to break ground in May with an estimated completion of August. And we are just awaiting for additional information on the drainage of that field. I really don't need to beat budget to death. That was what we talked about. Third, we went over the presentation. Mike, thank you. And Jessica, for always doing such a superb job. It's really been a breeze being chair for budget. You've done such a nice job. And one of the things I've always appreciated about Mike, is the fact that when we have new board members, he really takes great time to explain the budget process, which is very detailed. So thank you again for always going that extra mile. They obviously, you've heard the Executive County Superintendent of Schools approved the tentative budget. And the advertised budget was published in the Asbury Park Press in accordance with the statutory deadline. And we also discussed the 192 and 193 additional funding, which is on this evening's agenda. And our next committee meeting is May 19th at 6:30.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, would you like to buildings and grounds?
Sure. The Building and Grounds and Safety Committee met on Thursday, April 28th at 5 p.m. Eileen covered the first two items, the referendum updates in terms of the projects and the multi-purpose turf field, so I won't go over that. But we did talk about the district grounds update. We did look at the fields next to Village School. There was a request to look at those, the lacrosse fields right next to Village School. The fields were aerated and the grass is growing nicely in there. So they actually redid and did a lot of work on those fields. And the grounds team will keep an eye on that to make sure that those are well-maintained going forward here. We also took a look at the Brown Crawford House. Mike Sockel, Elizabeth, and I, along with Mike Pachizzo and Ken, toured it on the 28th. And what we recommend is the entire board and key administration visit the site and come up with ideas for its use and improvement. This is the house that's right in front of the high school that I'm referring to that we purchased through the referendum. District facilities update. The Holmdel High School auditorium sound system, we had a request from one of the constituents that the sound testing, that there's some issues with the sound in it. And the sound system was tested by an audio engineer and gaps in the sound quality were identified. An additional speaker was added and the sound quality is improved. It was tested by a digital signal processor in order to validate that improvement. So we actually did some action and hopefully it'll be better for the next play or event that's going on in the high school auditorium. And then our standard lead testing update, there will be testing of the district drinking water is required to be completed now every 3 years versus 5 years. The testing was completed last week and the lab results should be in soon. Any discrepancies will be resolved immediately per DOE standard regulations. And our next date of date and time of our next committee meeting is on May 19th at 5 p.m.
Thank you. Mr. Wall.
Just a brief follow-on to put on the radar. I spoke to administration about the turf field, which is fantastic. That project is wonderful. We're going to need to light it, my opinion. I know we're going to have the conduit be able to, for the electric, but it wasn't quite clear if the next step would be with Musco for perhaps through co-op getting pricing on lighting. There's no there.
Yeah, so we actually got some requests to get lighting, and we're actually going to do that. And
great.
We'll be discussing that in the next budget meeting and looking at possibly partnering with some other constituents too.
Sure. Yeah, and there are folks in town that I'm sure would be thrilled to participate in that. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? All right, Mike.
The Labor Negotiation and Personnel Committee met on April 27th at 5:30 p.m. During the meeting, we reviewed as a committee the staff members who will be receiving tenure for the upcoming school year. The committee also discussed with the superintendent next steps to fill the following administrative positions because of vacancy or because they're new, which includes the director for curriculum and instruction, an opening of assistant high school principal, and the opening of supervisor of athletics, health, and physical education. Committee also reviewed next steps regarding negotiations with the HTEA and the HTAA. Two sidebar notes, which are not reflective of the committee, but reflective of my own personal feelings. One is I wanted to extend my thanks to our unions for their patience. As I've explained to them a number of times, we really wanted to wait until Dr. Cascone had come on board so that he could give his input on how we should proceed with the contracts, what changes he may have suggested, things that we can do to make sure the contracts are aligned. I know that the union leadership has wanted to move quickly on these contracts, and I appreciate their diligence and resolve. And I'm very appreciative of their patience in allowing us to at least provide some sort of transition for Dr. Cascone. In regards to the Director of Curriculum and Instruction, I plan to abstain on this issue. And the only reason I'm doing so, you know, sometimes people abstain because it's a sneaky way to get around from saying no. But in this particular case, the combination of my business travel and my illness really prevented me to be an active participant in the discussion of the value of this particular position in general. It is not a reflection of Dr. Irwin or her qualities. It is simply a reflection of my failure to do the level of preparation that I feel comfortable in casting a vote on this position. So again, that's not reflective of the committee. That's simply reflective of my own personal failings. We have not yet set a meeting date for the committee. That will be determined soon, but usually it's the Wednesday before our May meeting. So take May 25th, subtract 7. That's probably a good guess when we'll meet again. The 18th? All right. We'll probably meet on May 18th. Thank you. Any questions for the Labor Negotiations and Personnel Committee? Thank you very much.
Okay, Linda, last but not least.
Sure. This we had a community relationship committee meetings on April 26th at 5:30 with P. Reddy, Joe Hamber, Terrence Wall, and Dr. Cascone and myself attended the meetings. We discussed the school calendars for the year 2021 to 2022 needed to be revised. The May 26th is changed from full day to half day on the motion tonight to get approved. That's Thursday before the Memorial Day. We discussed before, like the how do we archive the Homedale Board of Education public meetings as either streaming or archiving the videos. We discussed that because it's currently we're doing Zoom meetings, and one of the options is we video recording the current Zoom meetings. Then we put on our system, archive them. But think about it's very costly to do that instead of do a live streaming to YouTube and post those videos to the website. And as a link, that'll be more, cost effective. So superintendent office is preparing for a July launch on this streaming meetings, the archiving of our public meetings for the BOE. Another one we discussed is the Qualtrics software, and Dr. Cascone and is going to already schedule the meetings, do a walkthrough with the rep. And after that, he will assemble a district implementation team to get up and running for the end of year of the serving. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Just for a little bit of qualification on Qualtrics. Qualtrics is a survey, survey platform. And this would be, and we have in fact contracted with them as of January. We're looking to begin utilizing the Qualtrics software for this distribution of surveys before the end of the school year, in particular to gather feedback regarding goal setting for the upcoming year.
Another item we discussed is we will, our superintendent will hold health and physical education curricular town hall meetings for the public. I know a lot of parents have the concerns about, the content of this physical education, which part of how you to do something, leave some content out of those. And please come to the meetings and they will answer you all the questions instead of, we do take the regular public BOE, the meeting times. So that's what we discussed. And our next meetings will be on May 17th at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Vice President, question for you. So I just want to make sure I understood. The committee is recommending replacing the audio playback with video, or are we talking about doing both at the same time?
That's good questions. We discussed the two options, but in the end, if we do the live streaming to the YouTube, replace the current format is from expense point of view, it's better, you know, it's the most more cost effective than we do the current one and do a video recording, and then we archive the recording, and that's for storage point of view, it's more expensive for our, you know, we have to pay more.
Well, okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm afraid the first, the question I'm asking is, are we choosing one over the other? Are we going to continue to do audio recordings, or are we going to do video recordings instead of audio recordings?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Kastan, and I have that already in plan. He can answer your question.
So the current audio would be replaced with video, which would be archived videos from the meetings. Which,
and you're talking about video from that we're shooting as part of Zoom.
No, so we would abandon the Zoom platform. We'd be streaming via YouTube. And then those YouTube videos would be posted to the district website in lieu of the audio. Just one additional point, Board Member Sokol, would be that to maintain the interactive community participation, because we would not be fielding questions in the live chat in YouTube. That's pretty much standard practice. We would avail a Google form to community members and open that Google form up 48 to 72 hours prior to the board meeting so that folks could submit questions for consideration to the board.
Well, just two quick comments on this. One is you're still going to have to store the video under state law. So there's no savings on archive, right? Were you saying not anymore? You don't have to? I thought that was like 45 days. That was in the past discussions.
Well, for a brief period, you have to, it's rather convoluted in terms of if you use it as your official record for your minutes, that's one thing. But if you just use it as an aid for purposes of preparation of the minutes, then there's a limited time that you have to store.
Okay. So what I would really strongly recommend is if we're going to go this pathway, there's policy that exists that defines video as a medium for us to record meetings, but we need to clarify in whatever we do, if we're going to maintain as our official record what Michael does as minutes, or whether the video is going to be the official record, because that's going to have a major impact on what we're going to do about storage. Yeah. And right. So we need to clarify that part. The main reason I've always been hesitant about video versus audio is audio is basically cut and paste. It's done. You pop it up. There's very little use of staff time. If you're saying the same thing is the case because we're running the video straight into YouTube, it's automatically saved and there's no editing involved, then you've resolved that problem. But when we talked about video about 4 or 5 years ago, that was one of our big concerns, is we didn't want to take up a lot of Anthony's time and Anthony's team's time editing a video and then putting that video up in some sort of storage area, which obviously would be more costly because you need more storage for video. So I'm fine with where you're going, but I'm just saying that in the next few months, as you get closer to this, there is some policy stuff that just needs to be clarified to make sure that we're, you know, crossing our T's and dotting our I's.
And thank you for that, Board Member Sokol. And I'm happy to offer some clarifications at this time. So the manner in which we're maintaining minutes would continue. It would be through, you know, the written record as per the existing operating procedure. The premise of the videos is not as official record. It's just simply that members of the community, you know, have access to, to recordings, in this case, video recordings of board members, you know, board meetings rather, going as far back as they wish, back archived, you know, years. My understanding is that this would not require, and we have Mr. Gattini here, you can confirm this, hopefully, I believe you can, that the posting of a previously live streamed YouTube video to the website is no more laborious than it is to post the audio. Is that correct? Okay. Right. So I think your questions are astute, Mr. Sokol, but I don't believe there's any cause for concern. Thank you.
Board President?
Yes.
I just want to follow on just very briefly. Right now we stream Zoom. It's live. You see it. It's video. We don't keep it. The difference, it streams on YouTube. It's there. So it's a distinct measurable improvement where people would expect this Zoom video to reside somewhere. But then the cost of another, whether it's terabytes, whatever the data storage is an issue, or maybe contracts with Zoom. So right now we're streaming live, and then folks may think they can go back for the presentation for the students or the presentation for the faculty. And no one can find it after the meeting. It's a WAV file that you have to struggle to, you know, scroll through. So I think the usability is different. So now stream to YouTube, maybe Facebook as well, because a lot of entities are streaming to both YouTube and Facebook at the same time. The Township Committee was an example, and then it resides there. Perhaps you also still add a WAV file, but that's a separate discussion. So it'll actually be an improvement, because right now we're streaming live video and then you can't find it. It doesn't exist. So my view, I think it's fantastic. Whatever the final iteration is great. Also, I think it's worth noting from the committee, cutting to a new website. We don't know exactly the date, but I think it's worth noting that the website is going to have a refresh, right? So that's also a tremendous way to communicate to the public so they can find the information they're looking for much easier. And the Qualtrics, you're going to find more intelligent, articulate surveys that are based on real platforms, not the Google Doc and, you know, click yes and no and all of that kind of thing. There's the ability to really have solid surveying. So I think that's a tremendous improvement. I want to say that. And lastly, I mentioned, I don't know if it was mentioned earlier, but our rankings are improving. I think the public may want to know that. U.S. News and World Report, our rankings 15, 12 nationally, and 68, Holmdel High School is 68. So it's an improvement. Obviously, you always want to be number one, right? But I think it's notable that nationally and statewide, the rankings in the district are improving. That was another item from the...
it was in community relations.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Are we done with community relations? Okay. I'd like to have questions or comments from the public on action items only. Is there anyone who would like to come up? Is there anyone online? Okay. So if I'm wrong, let me know. This got a little confusing. May I have a motion on items 1 to 2, 4 to 12, 15 to 18, 20 to 39, and we have a slip sheet number 40. Let me read it for you. Acceptance of resignation, school nurse, WR Sat School. Resolved that the board has accepted the resignation of Shirley Campuzano, school nurse, WR Sat School, effective June 30th, 2022.
Move.
Second.
Discussion?
Just to clarify, does this include 29?
Yeah, yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Mm-hmm. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
I am pretty sure I need to abstain from 1 and 2 because I did not attend the entire meeting on the 20th. No, I'm sorry. That was April. My apologies. I have to check back with you, Michael, because one of these, I think this
sure,
one,
I'll come back.
I think, was I here at March? I don't
know. You were here remote.
For March. Yes, April. Okay. I'm sorry. So I accept all the items and abstain on 19.
We're not making a motion on 19 right now.
Oh, okay. Then I say yes to all the items that you've mentioned.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, abstain on number 29.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, with abstain on B and C under 29 on A, IH 03022022. I'm voting no, and yes on D, E, and F. Thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
I'm yes on items. Are we doing 30? 30. Yeah. I'm a no on A and a yes on B. And yeah, that's right.
Dr. Kalour?
Yes.
Mrs. Tasillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Dr. Kalour, will you read agenda item 13? Acceptance of retirement bus monitor village school. Whereas Ms. Patricia Caruso has served the Holmdel Township Public Schools with distinction since January 28, 2002, and whereas Ms. Caruso has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Caruso has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Caruso has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Holmdel Township School District effective July 1, 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Holmdel Township Board of Education accepts Patricia Caruso's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Caruso's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Caruso its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
May I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mrs. Romansky.
Yes, and congratulations on your retirement.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Sokol.
Keep on trucking. Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes, congrats.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations.
Dr. Kalour.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Tasillo.
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mrs. Tasillo, will you read agenda item 14, please?
Acceptance of retirement, lunchroom, playground aid, bus monitor for Village School. Whereas Miss Lisa Shire, I hope I said her name right, has served the Holmdel Township Public Schools with distinction since January 5, 2009. And whereas Ms. Shire has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Shire has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Shire has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Holmdel Township School District effective May 6, 2022, now therefore be it resolved that the Holmdel Township Board of Ed accepts Lisa Shire's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Shire's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Shire its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
May I have a motion?
Move.
A discussion?
I'll second that instead of move.
Okay, roll call.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and congratulations and best wishes on your retirement.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Sokol.
Beep, beep, yeah. Good luck.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes, congrats.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Dr. Kalour.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Tasillo.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Okay, I'm going to read agenda item 19, approval of appointment of Director of Curriculum and Instruction for the district. That the board approve the appointment of Dr. Jessica Irwin, Director of Curriculum and Instruction District, at the salary of $130,000, effective July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. May I have a motion, please?
Move.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion?
Take me a second.
I would just say welcome to Dr. Irwin. Congratulations. Okay, I guess I should have said that last. Yeah. Okay, can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and congratulations.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to Home District.
Mr. Sokol.
Abstain.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, welcome.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes, good luck.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, welcome aboard.
Dr. Kalour.
Yes, and welcome.
Mrs. Tasillo.
Yes, welcome.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
If you'd like, would you please come up and say a few words to the community? Dr. Irwin.
Hello to the Board of Education, Dr. Cascone, the administration. My name is Jessica Irwin. I'm very excited to take on this position. I'm committed to students and families and achievement. I've learned a lot just listening tonight, and you all speak with such passion about this community and the commitment to academic programs and the extracurricular resources and what we can do to continue to promote student learning. I'm excited to be a part of that. I can't wait to innovate, to elevate, and I'm looking forward to joining the team here. So thank you for this honor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, old business. New business.
Could I make a quick?
Sure, Mike.
All right. Last week marked my 12th year on the school board. And nobody's more surprised by that than me, to be honest. But, you know, good times always come to an end at some point. And I know at this time of the year, a lot of people are thinking about whether or not they're going to run for school board or thinking about getting more involved. And so I thought it was only fair to the community to at least officially announce that I will not be seeking re-election this year. I'm just so pleased to have had the support of the community for this many years. It's been an incredible ride for me. I've worked with some incredible people and we've done some incredible things. And I hope that, you know, I mean, I think it is time for a new generation of folks to be involved. I wish them the best of success. I will always stay actively involved in keeping abreast of what's going on here at the district. But, you know, it's I think it's time. So I wish those folks who are thinking about running for school board, please do so. And if you need any advice or counsel on how that all comes about, happy to offer that as well as anyone here on the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mike. Terrence, did you want to say something?
Well, yes. First, I'd like to congratulate and thank you, Michael, for your dedication to the community for 12 years and way beyond that. And I'm sure way beyond this day too. So thank you very much. And we'll be, I'm sure, talking more about all your successes. And if maybe we'll reimagine senior year before the end of this year, but that's business for another day. Or Addie Lubkert's home, creating something that's an elegant design for the future of that historic location of an old family friend of mine. So thank you for that. I have two things. One, I meant to reference this during the budget discussion, but I want to thank all the volunteer groups because they have such an integral part of really funding the budget through their countless hours. That's a PTSO, PSG, PLG, PSA, HCAA, SEPAC, CPAC. Holmdel Foundation for Educational Excellence does tremendous work. And as you know, we accept a gratitude during most meetings, different types of things. And they tied up to budget relief for the taxpayers as well. In addition to all the dedication and coaching, you know, we have B positions that we're paying for, but there's so many folks that are not paid at all. And there are folks that go well beyond what the compensation is. So I just want to say thanks. Thank you for your impact on the community and also on the finances that have to be raised each year in the annual budget. I wanted to mention briefly a topic that I think it matters, and I'll be brief. We have an HIB process by statute. We have seen an increase in filing of HIBs and adjudication of HIBs. And oftentimes, whether it's substantiated or more importantly, not substantiated, I think it's also because parents don't have a channel that has similar timeframes, investigation, 10 days, result, board action, that kind of thing. So I just want to put it out there that I think if we had a parallel path, because HIB is very narrow for the folks who are or are not familiar with it. And it's very narrow areas where it fits into an HIB category for harassment, intimidation, and bullying. But it's very difficult when you're outside that that lane and you're just dealing with really bad behavior and of various stripe. So I just want to suggest, to the extent that the superintendent peers or other organizations have a similar structure where you have, we have a current process, right? You go through the chain of command, but a similar structure, perhaps a policy that puts this, overlays the same timeframes is really where I'm going with it. It's an investigation, it's 10 days, there's a result, there's a resolution one way or the other, but that would also, I think, gear things away from items that are clearly not HIB, but parents are looking for an avenue of justice that's timely. So I just wanted to put that out there as a thought process, because there's a surge in HIBs, and that may be, you know, throughout the state. So I'm not, you know, identifying HOMBA particularly, but that may also be coming to some extent a catch-all to get it in a process when, if there was an alternate pathway, maybe a better way to describe it, that was clear and articulated to the public, they may avail themselves of that and the resources that may be available in that regard. So I wanted to share that as a new business potential for whichever committee you may want to relate it to, or if you want to share any thoughts, Dr. Cascon.
No, that, thank you for pointing that out. That's actually very helpful. Anyone else? Okay. Questions or comments from the public? Anyone in the room? Please come forward and state your name and address. Thank you.
Good evening. I am Terry Ferguson from 4 Richards Way in Holmdel. I had addressed the board back in January in support of Coach Darren Ault after the accusations had been made against him. I was the one who drafted the statement, and I still stand by my words. Never doubted his character, but absolutely understand why an investigation was necessary. Unfortunately, this is currently a hot topic on social media. And firstly, tonight, I would just like to highlight what our student athletes underwent during this period, because ultimately their well-being is what this is all about. Aside from having to adapt to an interim coach mid-season, our girls were subjected to interviews by this school administration, as well as by the Holmdel police at the police station. These were awkward and uncomfortable discussions. The girls also fielded inappropriate questions from classmates and friends and were subjected to photos being circulated on social media. It was completely unnerving and stressful for them. From the onset, Principal Kokoda focused on the overall well-being of our girls. He has a demanding schedule as principal, yet in order to provide continuity for the girls while the investigation ensued, he stepped up as the interim coach for the varsity team and quickly appointed a temporary JV coach. In addition, Principal Kokoda ensured the daily support that the girls needed throughout the stressful period. Teachers were sensitive to what was happening, and our incredible trainer had an open office policy for the girls. Game film was taken down to stop the circulation of clips. The faculty and staff did anything they could for our girls. In a short period of time, the girls settled back into a routine. They had faith in the principal, they rallied together and played competitively. It was a great season despite all the obstacles. We would like to publicly thank Mr. Kokoda again for his support of our girls, both on and off the court. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Can you state your name and address, please?
Good evening. My name is Sego Martini. I live in 133 Mendham Court. My daughter is one of the seniors who was thrust into the center of this controversy regarding Holmdel High School girls basketball team. First off, I'd like to thank Holmdel Board of Education, Holmdel High School administration staff, Holmdel High School teachers, and Principal Kokoda for helping the girls surviving through the one of the most unexpected difficulties. Thank you for focusing on the students' well-being first over everything, knowing that doing so will create multiple criticisms from the various communities. These girls are student athletes. They are students first, and Holmdel High School administration and Principal Kokoda understood that. The recent social media attention of this issue has been upsetting the students again in the midst of AP exam week. My daughter saw Mr. Kokoda in the hallway yesterday. He came up to her and said, "Don't worry about what's going on, just focus on your studying." And just like that, the simple conversation made everything okay. This interaction sums up everything that girls and parents needed. As a mother of a student athlete, I am truly thankful for making the students' well-being priority throughout this difficult process. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Dr. Cascone, would you like to say something?
Thank you, President Urbanski. I just want to thank you for coming this evening. I'm sure that you know, my introductory report must have seemed very sterile. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate you bringing that human element to the conversation, to the table, and for calling attention again to the girls and the challenges that that these obstacles presented to them. Certainly, we never want students to have to go through those kinds of experiences. I have to say, and I've told the girls myself, I had the opportunity to meet some of them when I was walking the high school, and I made a point to tell them how proud I was of them for the way they continued to compete and manage the pressures that were associated with that. So thank you for bringing that human element back into the conversation. And we appreciate your kind words from Mr. Kokoda. And I think I speak on behalf of the board that we certainly concur. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cascone. Okay, no one online? So we're done. Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Show of hands. I get to use my hammer. 2 hours.